research about the power of words. According to one researcher, the author Dana Suskin, she said that by the time the child reaches the age of 4, the number of words that a baby has heard would be equivalent to about 4 million words. Can you imagine that? By the power of words, by the time you are 4 years old, 30 million words. And what is interesting also is that there is a paradigm called still face paradigm. And according to her research, the baby freaks out when a parent or a caregiver all of a sudden turns unresponsive, look at their smartphones or whatever device. There is a freaking out because all of a sudden the child realized that this person is tuning out of that relationship. The power of words. And then when I look at the scripture, it's about identity and location. 7 words that Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" It's interesting because the rest of the disciples said, "Well, you are Elijah." You are Elijah. 3 words. "You are John the Baptist." 5 words. And some said, "Or you are one of the prophets." Maybe 7 words. Then immediately Jesus turned to Peter and asked Peter, "Well, who do you say that I am?" He asked Peter 4 words. "You are the Christ," which means you are the Messiah. I was thinking about that. You know, of all of the words, if you combine a child, 30 million words, what happens then by the time we are an adult age? So Jesus basically is asking for 4 words. And somehow it was very difficult to comprehend. Because the scripture reminds us that the disciples were distracted by many things, by the miracles that they had seen. Can you imagine the blind people were healed? And Jesus, in his most unconventional way, spat on the man's face, touched this person and says, "Go on your way because your faith has made you well." And if you take into consideration the feeding of the 4,000 with 7 loaves and 2 fish, Peter's fish, if you like tilapia, that's Peter's fish. All of a sudden, Jesus is saying, "How come you cannot identify who I am?" And so what we find in this portion of the scripture is about great expectations. Because the disciples were really locked in the past. You know, some say you are so-and-so. And I think in our world today, there is a longing for the great prophets of old. And there is a longing for the way things were. You know, it's all about nostalgia. It's all about core memories. But Jesus is saying, all is not chaos. Because what I'm offering is the kingdom of God, which is an alternative to the Roman rule and the Roman peace. And that is why the words of Jesus are so beautiful. And because it is so beautiful, it is also dangerous. This is what Paul said, according to Paul. "If one is a new creation, the old things have gone away. You are now new with Christ." And I think this is what Jesus is trying to impress to his disciples, even though they were hard of hearing and they were very difficult to comprehend. I think retroactive is good. We've seen that, right? Retro is good. If the bell bottom was not cool a couple of years ago, it'll come back. Because going back gives you a sense of comfort, isn't it? A comfort and joy. Talk about memories, talk about friendship, talk about the things that have sustained you, especially in the most difficult time. We say we need to go back to the basic, to the very beginning, reset, reboot, find your identity, name your location. You know, whenever I have problems with my computer and it freezes, you know, there's a isn't it? There's that temptation to push the reset button or press that button, and you never know what happens, right? And you just hope that it's saved somewhere in the digital world or in the atmosphere of the cloud. I'm not sure. You know, I'm just hoping that when I reset it and I go back to the document, my sermon is there. But sometimes it's lost somewhere in the cloud. And when that happens, obviously I'm petrified because I put a lot of energy and a lot of work in it. And if you forget the password, that's the most difficult part. So you go on the site where you store your password, but you forgot your password to the site that's supposed to remember your password. You know, it's just like that. It's the world in which we live in. So you are the Christ. You are the promised Messiah. And I don't think Jesus was really impressed because Jesus walked many miles covering many territories. And if you look at the ancient map, from Galilee to Capernaum, not far, but in Sidon, in Tyre, and in many different places, Jesus is saying, well, you walk all of these times, and yet you really do not get it that I am the Christ. Now, who am I? I remember when I was in philosophy class, it started with a question of identity. The professor wrote on the blackboard, remember blackboards? You know, and the chalk, answer this question, who am I? And I thought, that's a very difficult question. You know, because I was sitting with classmates of mine who came from many different places, who lived in boarding houses, crowded boarding houses, who were sent there to study, and the parents have sacrificed a lot. They're not interested in the question of identity. Who am I? They want to find out how I can succeed. They want to find out what will make me go from this place to another so that I can make a significant difference in the lives of my family. They're not interested about who am I except me, because I live not far from there, so I guess I can answer the question of identity. So who am I? And Peter, later on after confessing, declared that you are the Christ. And Jesus said, from now on, you are going to be called Peter. You are the rock, and on this rock, I will build the church. And I thought, wow, that's really good. But then all of a sudden, Jesus came back to Peter, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because you are a stumbling block to me. But the language of the resurrection is also called teacher, Rabboni. Remember the scripture in the resurrection? Mary Magdalene, who called Jesus Rabboni, because that's the language of the resurrection. God gives us memories when we are ready for them. The builders, for example, who built the temple in the drama earlier, was about remembering specific times and places so that we can redirect our attention to God. Today is Rosh Hashanah in the Jewish liturgical calendar, the beginning of the high holy days, the new year. It's also called the Feast of the Trumpets. It's also called the anniversary of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And in the sacred remembrance in the liturgy of the Jewish tradition, challah bread is offered. It is broken in pieces, and they are dipped in honey, symbolic of the sweetness of God in our lives. Today's rally day, you know that, welcoming Sunday school students back. It's about our identity in Christ and where Christ has called us. I read this wonderful story of a young family with a daughter, about 2 years old. And so they welcome a new baby in the family. So mom came home with dad and with a 2-year-old sister. Went into the room, put it in the crib, closed the door, you know, bid good night. And all of a sudden, this 2-year-old sibling knocked on the mom's door, dad's door, and said, I want to see baby. I said, why do you want to see baby? I just want to see baby. So they were a little bit apprehensive because that's a rather unusual request. But there is a baby monitor in that room. So they think that even though the child is there, if there's a baby monitor, that's cool. They can monitor what's going on in that room. So they were a little bit concerned. I want to see baby. So the baby went into the room, climbed up into the crib, talked to her younger sister, a couple of days old. And she said, tell me about God. Tell me about God. I'm forgetting. So I don't know what that means. Tell me about God. I'm forgetting. Because I think in this innocence, the play of words, and perhaps there is something going on in there about our minds, about remembering the goodness about God. Tell me about God. God reveals himself. And when God reveals himself, it is always in the ordinary. God reveals himself not in golden calves. I think we have to remember that. God reveals himself not in golden calves, not in the things that we cherish. But God reveals himself through angels, through ordinary events. And oftentimes that is what we often miss. The love of God is always producing fruit in the fullness of the season. And so the disciples experienced this holy moment of revelation. Their identity was restored in that particular place. And they were sent forth, just like all of us, to be a blessing. It's a springboard to the future. Thanks be to God. Amen.